Hi, everyone. Welcome to Flock Talk. I'm Aaron Morgan.
And I'm Tom Lewis.
And we work for the farmer members of the Ontario Sheep Farmers Organization.
This week, we are discussing the preparation for shearing with Don Metherall.
Welcome, Don. Thank you for joining us on Flock Talk.
Thanks for having me.
So before we jump into questions, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? We know you, but many of our listeners may not.
Great. I've been shearing for, actually, I did the math there just before I come on, and it's been 38 years. I started when I was 16. I used to shear sheep right after school, between supper and school hours at 16. And then I started shearing on weekends with a nephew of mine who's a bit older than me, and we were shearing together on weekends. And then when I got out of high school, I jumped on a plane and went to Saskatchewan, sheared with my brother Cliff in Saskatchewan for a number of years. And, he as much as said, if you want to do this for a living, you have to go to New Zealand. So I did that for 5 years in a row. And my lovely wife and I got together, and we have three great kids. And that's about it.
Well, that sounds amazing. so you shear on the Canadian shearing team. Can you tell us a little bit about shearing on a team and what that entails?
Yes. So every 2 years, the world championships are held. I think next one is in 2026 in Masterton, New Zealand. And for that, a lot of countries have a circuit that you have to get points on to make the team. Here in Canada, we have a few competitions, and the last few worlds, we've been taking the top two of the Holstein Agro Expo and Calgary Stampede. I'm not too sure if the Calgary Stampede is a go for this year or next year, but we'll find out. We'll try to make arrangements for that. And then we'll go from there. So we'd only have two real competitions. I guess there's Humboldt. That's the third one, which we could make arrangements to make it maybe the one that where if you win that or come second, you're part of the team. But that's usually how we pick the team. And then when you get to the worlds, you'd usually do three heats of shearing five sheep. And then they take an aggregate and the top 12 go into a semifinal. And then that's individually and as a team too. So if you as a team place in the top 12, then you go actually into the finals of top six teams and shear off against each other, shearing 20 sheep. So one guy would shear 10 and the other guy would shear 10. And then they combine your point, what you have on that board to figure out the championship team. And then the individual, they take the top 12 into the semis and then the top six go into the finals and they shear 20 sheep and then they pick the winner.
And how have you done in the most recent years of competition?
My very best one, one of my first ones I ever went in was in Ireland in 98, and I placed 18th. And then in Invercargill in 2017, I placed 23rd, I think it was. And in France, I think it was 32nd, and this year in Scotland, I was 33rd or 32nd in the world.
So, yeah, that's great. Mm-hmm.
So it's almost the time of year when shearing gets busy for you and those working in that part of the sector. When producers are considering booking shearing, when is the best time to shear and how far ahead should they be booking in?
The easiest way is a lot of them know when their breeding schedule is. So when you put rams in, you know the due date of those ewes. And I always like to shear the ewes, pregnant ewes, 4 to 6 weeks prior to lambing. It's easier on me and easier on the sheep. So, you know, you just subtract the 4 weeks or the 6 weeks and then book your shear. You might want to book them right away, and then he can line up a schedule for his, especially if you're a distance from your shear, you might want to line up a couple other customers when he does a loop around to fit in. And, So a lot of shears that travel like myself, I like to do little loops that so it saves on gas money and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good thinking. So how should a producer prepare for the shearer?
Okay. I always suggest the ewes should be about 18 hours and off feed and water. a lot of people look at that, and but it's a more, if you get shearing pregnant sheep and full, if they're full of feed, they do a lot of growing and moaning, and that's not good for them, and it's not good for me. It's 40 pounds extra weight that you got to pull out drag into the position. And so that's one. And then if they should have a nice clean work area and well lit. So I tell a lot of people, a lot of these 4-foot LED lights come on sale, and you can, and they all link up together, and you can plug them all in, and they set up pretty good, and it's portable, so you can set them up anywhere, and it brightens the place up really well. And it helps that way, and have ample help on hand if you can, and for packing wool and pushing sheep, and everything should go good. And a piece of plywood to shear on, or sometimes those big heavy cow rubber mats are nice to shear on. It helps. A lot of people think, oh, we got a nice clean concrete floor. It's not nice shearing on a concrete floor all day. It's plywood's a lot better for my back. And then not only that, if the sheep tend to kick the handpiece out of your hand or anything and it hits the floor, a bit of like the comb on your handpiece will actually break. If it hits plywood, it might bend. Sometimes they still break, but a lot of times they won't break right off if they're against plywood or a rubber mat. And that's all I ask. And have them nice and dry. Can't shear wet sheep. Mm. Yeah.
So minimizing stress is a focus for producers. Are there ways producers can minimize stress on animals during shearing?
Yes, if they one of the big ones is having them empty is a big stress reliever for the sheep anyways, and myself. Having ample help to help push sheep, and lots of gates around, maybe make the pens a little bit smaller to force them in, and a proper handling facility, like a handling, because I have a shearing chute in the back of my truck, and I can set up two shears with two chutes, and we hook them onto the farmer's chute system, and it's a lot nicer and a lot easier for everybody. And make sure your sheep, sometimes it works good, because a lot of times I shear right after the ultrasound person's been there, and it's nice that the sheep get familiar with the chute, working chute, so they run through it easier, and it's a lot nicer for the people helping and working if the sheep are familiar with the chute system, and goes a lot smoother.
So if a producer is new to sheep farming, where do they find a shearer? How do they ask the right questions to ensure that they have an experienced shearer and have a good experience?
Word of mouth is the big one. A lot of people, a lot of my customers are just from other customers that say, oh, Don will come and shear your sheep or that, or that I'll fit, or ask Don if you can be fit into the schedule. Another thing, if they're looking for a young shearer, make sure if he's done a shearing school might help. Or if he's traveled overseas, maybe to New Zealand, Australia, and has sheared a bit. And then what pattern do they shear? Do they shear New Zealand, or are they self-taught? And maybe they have their own little style. But most likely your neighbors or your other people in the sheep industry will lead you right in the right direction if you ask.
Can you talk a little bit more about shearing pattern? When you say shearing pattern, what are you referring to? And why would that, where did that start? Where, how did it change over time?
Can you tell us? Okay. Well, it started with Godfrey Bowen in New Zealand. He took a lot of the top shears and put, and they all had sort of the same pattern in New Zealand. A lot of the shears are right-handed. Some are left-handed. But he took a lot of the advanced shears patterns and put them all into one and made what they called the Bowen shearing style. And that was taught by the New Zealand Wool Board all over the world and by Godfrey Bowen. And it's the most efficient way to shear sheep and the quickest and safest. And what that allows is the whole fleece to come in, off in one piece, and then somebody can pick that fleece up and throw it on a table in one piece. And it was more or less developed too to minimize second cuts to the wool, which is double cutting the fleeces, so cutting the fiber in half. And then, like I say, safety, and teaches a lot of the shears how to use their left hand, which is the free hand, but it actually does all the work to stretch the skin out and push on a couple points to stretch the legs out so it's you got that skin nice and tight and less it won't pick up wrinkles and get cut. And then a lot of shears that haven't traveled or been out of the country, sometimes they pick up their own style, which I'm not against. I've never been against any other shear learning. If you can learn and get the sheep off without harming them, that's fine. But a lot of them shear double-handed, what we used to call it the old English style. A lot of the English shepherds that immigrated to Canada in the 50s and 60s and stuff sort of sheared that way, and they sheared with both hands. And they started at the back of the neck and worked their way down each side, and then they did the belly last. Whereas the Bowen style, they do the belly first and then work away down the first leg and then up the neck and then into what they call the long blows and then down the last side and with the right hand, and then the fleece comes off in one piece.
That's so interesting. Thank you for that. And another thing that I've wondered, I've noticed that you all wear sort of a soft shoe. Is that, what is the purpose of that?
That's to feel the ground more or less, because when you have a rubber-soled shoe on or a running shoe, you have, it's flat, perfectly flat. And you can't feel the floor as well and hold the sheep. Not only that, that rubber, a long day of shearing, the lanolin and the wool will make the plywood slippery. So your rubber-soled shoes tend to slide a little bit more. So you get that loose sense of grip. And it's like, if you shear, when I was younger, I sheared in running shoes, but I wasn't doing that many sheep in a day. But it gets that, you know, when you've ever been up on a steep roof all day and your muscles are all tense and all at when you come down, you get that loose sense of security with muscles, and they're really sore. Mm-hmm. And then it allows your foot to roll around on its natural sole and grip that plywood. So you don't have that flat rubber sole to bind on your ankle.
That's so cool. And how fast can you shear, Don? So how long does it take to shear a ewe?
Well, most times I'm shearing under 2 minutes in a barn.
Wow.
A sheep. And the fastest I've ever shore was 37 seconds in speed. And you can go on YouTube and actually watch. They have big competitions now and a lot of speed. One's called speed shear, and that's get up, shear sheep as fast as you can. And they're judged, but you get a green light or a red light. So green light means you go on or you pass. Red light means you're disqualified, and that's it. You don't go on. And that's usually they dictate on how, if there's too much wool left on, maybe too many nicks to the skin and that, and the judges set a criteria. Mm-hmm. And then they go by that. Well, sports shear, like the Holstein Anger Expo, we get up and there's judges that rotate across the board, and, you shear a certain amount of sheep for each heat, and, they judge for second cuts on the board, and then there's judges out the back that are judging for wool left on and kits, nicks and cuts to the skin out the back. And then there's time involved. Every 20 seconds, there's a point added on. So everybody starts at zero in a sports shear, and the lowest point wins.
Very cool. And tell us about the shearing school. So if somebody is interested in becoming a shearer, is there a shearing school that they can go to?
There's one here in Ontario in the fall. I think Peter Kadelka puts it on. And it's a 2 or 3 day course. And they learn. There's a couple instructors. I think Ruko Bratton's involved. And somebody else. I can't remember who else. But there's one here just in Alliston. And there was one over in Paris last fall. And then there's just recently one in Manitoba with an Australian instructor, which is really good, Mike Porro. A really good instructor, and it's more for an advanced shearing to learn more of a new, not new pattern, but every year some of the top shears get together and they change the pattern a little bit to make it more efficient and easier on the shear and easier on the sheep. And at the end of the day, if you can shear a few more sheep, it's better for your bank account. So
just building on that, if a producer wants to ensure they have good results and a good quality fleece, ultimately, are there management decisions that can either increase or decrease the value of wool?
Yes, it starts pretty well the time I leave from the previous year to the whole year it starts growing. You got to look after it that way. Nutrition is a big thing. Wool is, sheep are a dual purpose animal, and wool is, it grows. So if they don't have the right nutrition and stuff, usually it takes away from the wool, and you can get what they call stress break or anything in the fiber that causes it to downgrade. And another thing is, keep away from the basket feeders, that we have here, the hoop style basket feeders where you set the bales right in with the tractor. They tend to have a lot more chaff all through the wool. And the reason I ask that, or another thing is chopping straw bales on top of the sheep in the barn with a bale chopper. If you can do it, move the sheep out of the way and chop the bale in the pen and then move the sheep into it, not chop the straw right on their backs, is more or less comfort, really. If I was a sheep, I wouldn't want that itchy stuff on my back. And it's a lot harder for a shearer to shear those sheep that are all full of chaff than it is if they're nice and clean. So I can do a better job and do it more efficiently. And it just makes more sense to keep your wool clean.
And then how about, the environment that the sheep are in? Is there a way to sort of reduce the tag that's on the wool?
Yeah, like some of my customers will get me in if they do, so some of them will not shear the sheep before lambing. So they get me in to crutch their bums around their bums so they stay clean for when they go out on grass. And after the lambs are weaned, they get me to come in and shear mid-July and August. So the sheep stay a lot cleaner and there's less work when it comes to skirting the fleeces and all that's already gone. And another thing farmers could do is I do believe don't bedden up the pen 3 or 4 days before shearing. Leave it like a week and a half, like a sort of a hard pack bedding. So it keeps that straw from getting up onto the main, if they lay down and it doesn't stick to them. And I understand too, the odd, especially this time of year, you get some water bowls that might run over and stay wet. You have to bedden up. I understand that and keep them dry that way. And like I say, always have dry sheep for the shearer and make arrangements with your shearer too. If you're a farmer that has barns and that can keep sheep dry for him when he's on his mid-season, let him know. Let him know all you need is a day's notice, and he can make different arrangements, because somebody always gets caught out and has wet sheep in the middle of the shearing season, and you can arrange to go to that place. His place where the sheep are dry, and then hopefully by the time you're done that place, then the sheep are dry at the other farm and you can go in and get them done. It's just all cooperation with everybody helps out.
Excellent. So following along on cooperation, the Canadian Wool Council is working on a Shearers Guild, which I understand is a group of shearers coming together, working together to set some standards for the shearing industry. So have you been involved with that project and how is it coming along?
Yeah, I've been involved with it, and it's actually at a bit of a stall right now, and just trying to get everybody ramped up again to see what they want to do. Hopefully we can start up an organization. We had a few of the shears out west in Western Canada. I don't know. They felt like it was going to, I don't know what it was. They didn't get properly informed enough about it and all that kind of stuff. So they're a little upset. So we had to do a lot of explaining, and I think some of them thought we were into buying wool. We had nothing to do with buying wool, so we just want more or less training, shearing competitions, picking the teams for world championships, and if we have a body, we can be represented at the world championships a lot better, like a shearing body. If any concerns with the industry about things, like one time just back, when we used to have the RFID tags in there, steel tags. A lot of shears could have got injured with steel tags. A lot of people wouldn't know that, but when you're shearing up around the heads of woolly sheep and stuff, the clippers can get into those steel tags and cause what they call lockup. Yikes. And pretty dangerous. And we never got asked, a lot of shears never got asked what year they should be put in or anything like that. So Things like that. And if the industry had a group like the shears could come to and say, is this going to work? If it doesn't, well, can we do something different? Or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Don, for joining us. You've given us some things to think about, and the timing is really on point coming into this time of the year.
And thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Join us next Wednesday for our interview with Barbara McLean, who's going to tell us about her new book.
Hey, Aaron, anything new to share?
There are some exciting events coming up in the next couple of months to add to your calendar. This year's District 2 Lamb Banquet is March 26th at the Elmwood Community Center. And District 11 will have a booth again this year at the Earlton Farm Show on April 13th and 14th at the Earlton Recreation Center. I will be there both days and look forward to seeing our Northern OSF members. Please check out the OSF website for more details on these upcoming events.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please subscribe through your podcast app to receive alerts to our future episodes, and please share our podcast with your friends and family.
For more Ontario Sheep Farmers content, follow us on social media at Ontario Sheep Farmers on Instagram and Facebook, and at Ontario Sheep on X, formerly Twitter, and visit our website at ontariosheep.org.